My name is Nathan Nelson. I'll be presiding. So our next presenter is Brian Hopkins, and he will be presenting on increasing phosphorus use efficiency with organic acids, crop yield. Brian?
So the program actually shows my graduate student, Sean, supposed to be giving this presentation, but Sean's in trouble, had to stay home. He's trying to get his thesis done, so I'm going to be here in his place. Fertilizer rate, source placement's important to try to get things right. Sorry, I got to do that, wake you guys up. All right, phosphorus issues, briefly. It's a limited resource. Estimates say, 300 plus years, and I don't know. I'm sure we're going to get better at finding it and manufacturing it and whatnot. But the reality is, at some point, these mine resources will run out, and so improving efficiency is an important thing that we need to pursue. Certainly need it. I mean, we can't just stop fertilizing. We need it to produce food, fuel, and fiber. And the problem with it, we have some pretty poor efficiency of the nutrients. It's one of the poorest in terms of uptake efficiency. We have in the literature records of near zero to at the best about 30% uptake, and that's if everything's just right. So we don't get a lot of what we apply in terms of fertilizer into the plant. So our goal would be to try to avoid this type of thing. P deficiency certainly is a problem. So what's going on down there? Our objectives would be to try to, again, increase P use efficiency, get more P in the plant without reducing yields, possibly cutting rates or doing other things to try to enhance that efficiency. But we don't want to lose our yields. In fact, we'd like to improve them if possible. So those are our twin objectives. In potato, I'm going to talk about potato not exclusively, but that's a lot of what we do, and it's a very important crop in the world. It, in particular, we're going to talk about four different species here, but of the four, it certainly has the highest pea demand. In Idaho, in particular, we put on phenomenal rates of phosphorus. Most other people in other states would look at it and say, wow, you guys are crazy, but the guys who are still in business have learned that they've got to put on those kind of rates if they want to stay in business. And my family farms potatoes. I'm from Idaho. I'm an Idaho boy. And it's something we've learned. Part of the problem is potatoes have a very poor root system. They're very shallow rooted, and they just have poor uptake efficiency. So they have high demand and a poor root system. And so we end up, again, putting on a lot of phosphorus in order to grow those good potatoes that we all like to eat. Okay, we've been working with a product, and I've done lots of work with different products, and we get, some work, some don't, most don't, but we've been working with organic acids for quite a few years, and lately we've been working with one called Carbon P. Landview is a company based out of Idaho, kind of a local small company. They're producing, and it's essentially 10-34-0 ammonium polyphosphate, with organic acids and then some other stuff that I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you, kind of thing. But in my mind, I'm pretty convinced that it's the organic acids that's giving us the response that we're seeing with this particular product. The final analysis on this after they do the blending is 7240. So we've got studies that show evidence of improved mobility, solubility, and uptake, and I'm just going to show you a few of them just really briefly. This is a field study that was done, and that you can see here that we're looking at bicarbonate extractable phosphorus concentrations by depth, and we're not in metric here, but 0 to 6 inches, you'll see that the Carbon P, which is this light-colored gray bar, actually has less in the surface. Compared to the ammonium polyphosphate, and these were both sprayed on. But the reason why maybe we're having less is that we're moving it at lower depths of the profile. We've actually been seeing it move as far as 24 inches. To be honest, though, sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes some soils it seems to do, some soils it doesn't. But this particular trial, we were very pleased with how far we were able to get to move. This is a study that was done by one of my other graduate students, Mike, that's sitting here, and he's got a poster later today, or tomorrow, I think, on Carbon P. But this is a broadcast incorporated in a 6-inch soil column, and we're looking at relative mobility through the bottom of that soil column after various times. We extracted these things after 24, 48, 110, and then after a year. And then you can essentially see that we consistently had more. And what you're looking at is the increase in the phosphorus coming out the bottom of the column over these other two sources. So, in other words, right here, let's look at this 48-day one. Carbon P had an increase over MAP, monoammonium phosphate, by about 175%, which was highly significant. And the same thing with APP. And it seems to be, the effect seems to last for quite a long time. So we've got this. This is very similar, just instead of broadcast, this is banding. And we're seeing some huge, huge differences, especially with carbon P over the dry MAP. And again, another preliminary type of a study that was done. It was we showed this last year. Mike showed this last year that we had a study with maize looking at various rates of 10-34-0 and carbon P, and we got a nice visual response. We got taller plants, early season stuff in the greenhouse. We had increase in biomass at the lower rates, and that's something we're pretty consistently seeing, is that we put on enough fertilizer and the effect is gone. But at the low rates, very low rates, we're seeing an increase in efficiency. And in fact, up here at this high rate, we actually had it went the other way. Possibly maybe we had too much phosphorus available to the plant, causing a micronutrient deficiency or something else. These were the final results, these were shoot phosphorus concentration. So we feel like the reason we're getting those biomass increases is because of this. We've measured a lot of other things. Nitrogen was balanced in the study. We're fairly certain that phosphorus is the reason for the increase in the biomass. So that's preliminary stuff. What happens in the field? And we've done some trials, and we've had some mostly working with growers and pretty trying to do, big strip trials, things that growers pay attention to, and that's what I'm going to mostly talk about right now. Is we did these trials, some in Utah, most of them in Idaho, some in Utah. We had now the grower, he wants to put on 30 gallons or whatever, and so we set these trials up to run at the same gallonage. And I know that that's not good pure science, and I've got some good pure science at the end with a couple of these, but I wanted to show these trials just to show that we're getting what kind of results we're getting with equal liquid rates. So in potatoes, we had 4 site years. The ammonium polyphosphate was put on at 44 kilograms per hectare. We had 30% less phosphorus. That comes out to be about 31 kilograms per hectare. In the maize, sugar beet, and bean trials, we have 2 site years on each of those that I'm going to show. The APP was about half that rate, 15 to 20 kilograms per hectare. And again, 30% less phosphorus when we use the carbon P. On the 2 of the potato years, we do have equal rates of phosphorus. I'm going to show you that at the end, since that's probably the most important data that will actually get published. Liquid, this was put on a liquid band, 5 to 8 centimeters from the seed or the tuber piece. In terms of results, we pretty consistently are seeing improved phosphorus uptake, even when we don't see yield increases. We're getting more phosphorus into the plant when we're combining the phosphorus with these organic acids. With maize, dry bean, sugar beet, and potato, and these are all significant increases in yield, in phosphorus concentration. Yield-wise, if we looked at the maize, bean, and sugar beet trials, the trend was there. The growers were excited. The land view's excited. Statistically, though, it was not a significant difference. But in all cases, the carbon P was numerically higher. Those are the P values. They're close to significant, but not quite for probably what we want to be able to do. But that's, I think, interesting to look at those trends. In potato, we didn't see any significant difference in total yield. But we, U.S. number twos or any size category, pretty much nothing other than U.S. number ones, which is, for most potato growers, is the most important yield component that they're looking at is those potatoes they can sell to for baked potatoes and they get the best dollar return for. So we do have a significant increase there. 4 site years of data here. And what you're looking at here is the increase compared to the control. Now, in the maize and the bean and the sugar beet, we didn't always have a control. We couldn't always get the grower to do that. In all four of these potato trials, though, we did have a control where the grower was able to shut it off, and we were, you know, convinced them to go ahead and leave four strips in his field that didn't have anything on there. We agreed to pay the difference. But so this is Carbon P, is this pinkish bar, and this is the 1034-0. And in all cases, all four sites, we had a nice significant increase in yield when we look at that. Let's see, back up, actually those, not all those sites were significant. When we look at the total, it was when we combine all four fields, we do get significance at when we look at all four. All right, so two of these sites, site one and site four, we had what, you know, would be a little better science, where we had equal rates of phosphorus that applied as APP. So what I've been showing you is I showed you this data right here. But at two sites, we did have this additional set of strips with 1034-0 being applied at the same rate as the Carbon P. So if we want a direct comparison at P rates, we're looking at those two. If we did an orthogonal comparison and combine those two sites and just look at those two parameters, we do see a significant yield increase with these organic acids with Carbon P over the APP when we combine there. As far as P use efficiency goes, you know, that's still kind of being worked on as far as the numbers. I was hoping to have a better slide for you, but we're still kind of trying to look at the biomass. I've got some doubts about some of that data, but in general, I mean, we can say, hey, you know, we got more P into the plant, and we had either the same or increased yields, and so that equates to improvement in P use efficiency. I don't really have a good number for you here today, but eventually we hope to have that. But, you know, if we look at the average, it's about 12% increase in phosphorus in the plants, in the overall plant. Biomass yields were either maintained or increased. We've never went backwards. So in summary, we've got a lot of data, you know, lab data, greenhouse data, and field data that are pointing to increase in pea uptake and sometimes in terms of yield. And I'll be honest with you, we're a little confused, though. Mike would be the first one to tell you that we've got plenty of studies where we're sitting there scratching our head saying, well, in this case, the organic acid didn't move phosphorus through the soil. I thought maybe we had an answer for that. I mean, to me, it would be obvious that when we've seen response, they've almost always been in alkaline soils with low organic matter. So I thought, well, you know, that should be the answer. And we've tried to do some studies with acid soils and neutral soils and whatnot, but we just really haven't seen a consistency to the point where I can stand up and confidently say, okay, yes, these organic acids are going to improve yields or mobility within the soil. The one thing that is fairly consistent in almost all studies we've done, not every study, but we're almost always increasing the phosphorus in the plant. So that, you know, that's something that we can kind of hang our hat on. We feel like this is, you know, the phosphorus is being in some ligand exchange type of chemistry. It's enhancing the solubility. And I feel confident in saying that. Maybe not in all soils, and that's what we're trying to figure out right now, is under what conditions can we sit there and with confidence and tell a grower that, yes, this is, you know, this would be a valuable investment. Cost-wise, you know, you would have to put on about 30% less total product in order to, you know, to make dollar for dollar. So, but again, we're doing those studies showing that in many cases we're improving yields and getting the same response. So, with that, I'll answer any questions. Yes. So Landview would tell you that they have this special manufacturing process and that you've got to do it their way in order to get it the right way. Now, I've done other work with other organic acids, with humic acid, fulvic acids, and you know, one of the big problems with that whole market is that you don't always know what you're going to get. You know, it could be all kinds of things. And so sometimes we've seen responses and sometimes we don't see any response. But these guys seem to have a fairly consistent product that comes blended that you know, you can't buy Carbon and add it.